In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
Every year we hear this gospel, story of Zacchaeus, the little man. And every year we hear this gospel, it's kind of like the first bird of spring. You know, Sharon and I were out yesterday and we saw robins out already. We're like, wow, first sign of spring. Well, every time we hear this gospel, it is the first sign of the Lenten spring that is soon to come. Already, think of it. In a few weeks, we will be preparing for Lent itself as pre-Lent begins in February. But just as those first birds singing and the little sunshine that we get a little bit more and more every day remind us that winter's grip is not going to hold us forever, so here, the gospel that we hear of Zacchaeus reminds us that there is a winter grip that is not going to hold us in our hearts either, and that the season of Lent and the season of Holy Week and Pascha are going to free us and give us light, as they did for Zacchaeus. Now, as we start this story this morning, there is a couple of contextual gospel stories that I want us to set up. Always remember that when we're reading the gospel, stories aren't just independent of each other. Every story has a story around it that sets the context for us to understand it more clearly. And so also for the story of Zacchaeus. The gospel just before it in chapter 18 kind of sets the context. Two stories in particular. One is that of the rich ruler. You might remember him. He came to Jesus and he asked, "Good teacher, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one's good but one who is God. Keep the commandments," and on. And he says, "I've kept these from my youth." But then Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all you have and distribute it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven." And the story says that the rich man went away from Jesus sad, because he just couldn't give up that one thing that was most precious in his heart, his wealth, his goods. The second story is that Father Steve preached on last week, that of the blind man. Remember that story? And that utter mercy that Jesus came and showed to that blind man, and he comes and shows us. And so, with those two stories in mind, that context in mind, we look at our story again today a little more closely. Verse 1, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." Isn't that interesting? Anyone remember the story of Jericho from the Old Testament? What happened in Jericho? Jericho was one of those pagan cities that had to be conquered before the children of Israel could follow through on the promise of God for that new land that he had given them. And it tells us when we look back in the Old Testament that Jericho was a proud city. It was a strong pagan city. It was a boastful city. It was a city that didn't believe that anybody could conquer it until it met its match in Yahweh, in the great God of our Lord, and in his army of Israel, that once commanded by, remember the Old Testament prophet? Joshua, whose Old Testament name is Yeshua, the same name of Jesus, Yeshua. And in that Old Testament story, we're told about somebody else, a woman by the name of Rahab. And she was very important in this story because she was the one who made it possible for Israel to go in and destroy this city. She was the one that opened her house up for those spies to come in. And she let them up, as the story says, by this scarlet red cord. As the fathers tell us, that is a type of Jesus' blood, scarlet red. And by that she brought them up into her house, and that city would be destroyed and Israel could go in. She was also the great-great-grandmother of David. She was Jesus' own ancestor. So here, in this story, we already see a foreshadowing of what was taking place here that day in Jericho with Zacchaeus. She was a true daughter of Abraham, a true daughter of faith, whose courage and faith acted on the promises of God, and by it, God saved and brought his people into Israel. So, now in Jericho, forward ahead to the time of Zacchaeus, Jesus meets this little man, but who's a big sinner. In verse 2, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was exceedingly rich, says the Greek. Not just rich, but exceedingly rich. But how did he get it? Not through really honest work. You did not become a chief tax collector in those days by a popularity contest. You became a chief tax collector by making a deal with the devil. He made a deal with the Romans, obviously. He would go out and he would cheat his people, his own flesh and blood. He would take money from in order for him to get a little bit of that money. So you can imagine how popular Zacchaeus is in Jericho. Not very at all. We can tell by the reactions of the people when Jesus goes and wants to have dinner with them. Oh, what is he doing going with this sinner? This man is terrible. This man cheats everybody. No, he was despised, a chief of sinners, as much as he was a chief tax collector. He was short, all right. When it says he was short of stature, or small man, it also means that he was short of his morals, he was short of faith, he was short of everything that makes somebody truly tall in the kingdom of God as much as in man's eyes. He was successful in a worldly way, but not in God's. And in fact, today, I guess the analogy might be, we think of those Wall Street bankers, or maybe some of our own politicians, just about as popular. He was tall in his own eyes, but not in God's. Well, we in sin come up short in the same way. We are short of stature, if you will, in our own sinfulness. For what does St. Paul said? In the book of Ephesians, St. Paul says this. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we were all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. That is what Zacchaeus did, and that is what we do in our own passions. We go on to verse 3 and 4. He, Zacchaeus, sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Now it's very interesting why this man, first of all, would want to see Jesus. I mean, he was off in his world collecting riches and taxes and so forth. Why did he want to see Jesus so badly? And how did he do it? Now that was interesting when you dig into this text. It says he went up into a sycamore tree. I don't know if anyone has ever read the history of a sycamore tree in ancient Israel. A sycamore tree was a type of a fig tree. Figs grew directly on its branches, and the birds would come and eat it. It was very popular with the birds. The birds would eat this thing. Now, you can imagine thousands and thousands of birds around this tree having eaten these figs. You know what it was like? You have birds go over your car? You get the idea. Now, picture this. That's a dirty, filthy tree. It was. It was considered an unpure tree in Israel. So what does Zacchaeus use to go up into the tree to see Jesus? He goes up into this unpure tree. Just a further illustration of his impurity in the eyes of God. But he wanted to see Jesus. Why? Why would he want to see Jesus? He must have been questioning just a little bit in his heart whether he was really a rich man. Whether everything was so great. You know, we are often fooled. We look at the successful in this world. And we think, man, they've got it made, don't they? All the billionaires, well, all the billionaires, that small percentage who are billionaires, or people who have so much wealth, they have so many things going for them, it seems, in their life. But we don't always see the picture, do we? No. We think of one of those chief swindlers we had in recent times in our own history, a man named Bernie Madoff. Do you remember him? Bernie Madoff, he made off with $50 million of people's money. Bernie was not a happy man. Stories go and tell about the disaster that unfolded, a curse on his own family. He lost sons, one son to suicide, sitting rotting still in a jail. Oh yeah, he was a rich man, just like Zacchaeus. And maybe Zacchaeus finally realized just how short he finally was and just whom he needed to see, this Jesus. So he climbs up in the tree. We're like Zacchaeus too, aren't we? We find ourselves in the dead-end zone of our own passions. We hear the gospel over and over again. We have since we've been children. We hear the gospel and we hear the call to be like Jesus Christ. But then we get out there and we like get this amnesia. And the passions rage inside of us and we forget and we become short. Short in the standards of God. And we feel miserable because of it. And there's only one place to go. Rise up above the dirty tree and to see the one who comes and wants to visit us, just like Christ. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to that place near the sycamore tree, he looked up in it and he saw him, Zacchaeus. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And Zacchaeus made haste and came down. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up, he saw that man. He saw a man who, in his heart, was looking for something. And he knew that he didn't want to stay in that life that he was in. And so he could help him. Those are the kind of people Jesus could help. Everybody is sick. When the Pharisees would complain about Jesus, how many times did the Pharisees complain about Jesus eating with sinners? In Luke chapter 5, here's just one illustration of it, but constantly we hear this throughout the Gospels. The Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, it's not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call the right, not righteous, but sinners to repentance. Who are those? Well, everybody's a sinner. The most holy of the Pharisees were sinners. The people in Jericho who were grumbling about Jesus coming to eating with Zacchaeus, they were just as much sinners. Jesus said it in John chapter 8. He says, all of you are slaves if you are sinners. If you are in your sin, if you are living according to your passions and your flesh, you are slaves. You're all sick. Everybody here is sick unto death eternal. It's a given. And if we take it seriously and look, we would be just as much like Zacchaeus, ready to scramble up that awful tree to get to that Jesus. And the people whom Jesus can help are the people who finally realize in their heart they have nothing, 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 no riches. It's all an illusion. And the only thing they have is Jesus Christ. That is the only thing we have left in this world, Jesus Christ, the one who can save us. And what did he do? It says he went and he ate with him. He was glad to. He was glad to help this man who was dead in his sin. And he's glad to help every one of us. As Zacchaeus came and ate with a sinner, that's why it's so wonderful for us to be able to come every Sunday and eat with him. What do you think he uses the language that he does in this gospel about eating? It is a Eucharistic language. For us, the real way in which we are going to see Jesus and taste Jesus and take Jesus into our hearts is through the most holy Eucharist. That is the body and blood of Christ. No symbol. It is real. It is Christ on the altar for you and for me. It is the Christ who gave himself on the cross for us and rose again, who gives himself in that cup. He eats with sinners today. No fairy tale. Real. And that's who comes to us as he did for Zacchaeus. And then notice the last thing in this text today. What happened when this grace of God came into Zacchaeus' life? It really changed things. It moved mountains. Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold." Those are not just words. That probably financially ruined him. He gave it back fourfold. What he took from people, he would give back fourfold. He was willing to ruin himself financially because he understood that in Christ there was the riches. His riches were falsely gotten and stolen, and he needed to give back. That's truly a change of heart. And that is what Christ comes to do for us. When he comes to fill our hearts this week again, and when we come here in a few moments to receive him in his most holy sacrament, let us eat with Jesus as Zacchaeus did. Let us remind ourselves not only of the mercy of Christ today, let us start mentally shifting ahead a little bit to Great Lent that's coming. That's going to be the great time in which we're going to concentrate on being Zacchaeus and coming and being overwhelmed by the joy as we come then to Holy Week and Pascha. So let us take this story with us today, remembering we may be short because of our own passions, but the Christ is taller and he comes to call us to eat with us. Christ is in our midst.
He is never shy.